Welcome to the Dayspring Podcast, where we delve into faith and fellowship through the teachings of Christ. Join us every week as we explore God's Word and discuss how to live out your faith in today's world. Be blessed as you listen to this sermon. Your kingdom come, your
will be done. Today I'm going to talk about another thing that was public and that was seen by everyone. That has been overlooked by some because they don't like it. But for us, it is a celebration. Hallelujah. I'm speaking on what I've titled the public spectacle. The public spectacle. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Father, we thank you that your word brings light, it brings understanding. Your word is a reminder. Your word is grace. Use your word to bring us to the next level in our lives, to cement our faith, to make us ready for your work, and to celebrate what you did for us on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Second Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Praise the Lord. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hand, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So when you enter into Christ, there is a circumcision that takes place where the aspect of you that is not of God is cut out and God takes the rest. The verse 12 says, buried with him in baptism. Hallelujah. Verse 12 says, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God. It is a work of God who raised him from the dead. Raised who? Jesus. Amen. Verse 13, and you, say you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. There is nothing you have done that Jesus has not forgiven you for. There is nothing you will do that Jesus cannot forgive you for. Say, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. Hallelujah. Which was contrary to us. So there was something the world expected you to meet. There was something God expected you to live by. We were not able to live by it. It was contrary to us. Jesus came and wiped out those requirements. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So when Jesus was nailed to the cross, anything that required you to live a certain way that you by your nature could not, Jesus took it, lived that way, nailed it to the cross so that you can have Jesus' life. I thought you'd be excited about that. But I'm preaching from verse 15. It says this. Having disarmed, say disarmed, principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. The public spectacle is a word that is very interesting. It's a word that was coined by the lawyer Paul because he had a tendency to use certain words that were not used to try and explain a point that was difficult for people to understand. But that word wasn't necessarily coined only by Paul. It was a word that was used in the army. But Paul was the first person to use it in Scripture. In fact, in all his letters and in all the New Testament, it is the only place that word in Greek is used. The word is degomatizo. Deigomatizo. That word is a description of something that happens in the military. Now, when an army goes for a battle and they go and defeat a town or a city or a kingdom, what happens is the people that were defeated will be tied. So let's say this spring, we have gone to fight with Goodness Filling Station. Over 100 people against their maybe 10 workers at Goodness Filling Station. When we go and we defeat them, what happens after the battle is that they are tied. They are imprisoned. Are you here? When they are tied and they are imprisoned, there is a group of people who will still be in the city waiting for the army to arrive. Hallelujah. When the army is coming, it's coming as a procession. And then the people in the city are ready to celebrate because the word has already come that a victory has been won. So there is already a celebration that is about to take place in the city, but they are waiting for the army and their king to arrive in the city. I'm sure you've seen this in some movies, especially with the Roman army, which was the ruling power in Jesus' time. So when we are coming from the Goodness Filling Station, the king is coming first. Then in order of rank, the generals and everybody will start following. And somewhere in between will be the people that are alive but have been captured, that didn't die in the battle. And what happens is, as they are coming, they have been beaten, they have been stripped, they are in chains, and whilst everyone else is probably on a chariot and a horse, they are walking with their shame and the shame of defeat. Are you here? That whole imagery is what happens when a Roman army, for instance, goes to war and wins. As they come back and they enter the city, everybody in the city begins to jubilate and celebrate the fact that their army has won. Because the army's win is everybody's win. One person's win in day spring is everybody's. Are you here, somebody? No judgment, no envy, no wickedness, no it should have been me. One person's win is everybody's win. One person's wedding announcement. One person becoming wealthy. One person getting a big appointment. One person getting to a great place in life is all of us attaining a great place in life. So they enter the town, and as they are entering, these military people who have been defeated, some of them are very big because they also trained for war, but they've been defeated. And when they come, they are lined up in the town, and everybody in the town hoots at them as they are celebrating. Ooh, you lost to. You lost to. Everything I have described to this point is what is called the deigmatizo. What happens in that whole situation? It is called the public spectacle. A public spectacle of victory. A public spectacle of triumph. A public spectacle that these people, there is no way they can rise again. It is a defeat, and that's the end. Now, what happens afterwards is that for some of the people who may have money, they will just bring some money and carry one of the defeated people to their house to be slaves. We don't do that here. But that's what used to happen. Okay? Paul is explaining what has happened to us in salvation. And he begins to talk about the reality that when we got saved, one of the things that happens is that an aspect of us that did not please God was cut off at once. A circumcision took place. There is always that thing that happens to you when you get saved, that something is leaving your life. It's not a deliverance per se. It's not a fight between working towards getting out of it. It is a one-time instant event where something about your life is taken away. I used to dress before I got saved, and my trousers would be somewhere around here. And I'll be walking, holding the trousers here. Today, I don't understand how there's a belt. The trouser is falling, and walk with it falling. But now, as it's falling, instead of using a belt, you are using your hand, and you are holding and walking like this. It never made sense to. It was before I got saved, it was the life. It shows you are a boss. Especially if the jeans is big and then it's Timberland you are wearing, the big brown one. Some people are remembering. As soon as I got saved, it was cut off. I used to be a very, very good dancer. Oh, ja. Go and ask. Yeah. During our time, the Harlem Shake, the Crip Walk, all those things had come. I used to dance for the whole school to be cheering me like, hey! When I got saved, it was like Jesus gave me two left feet. The dancing is dancing, but it's not dancing well. The first thing that happens is a circumcision. And when you get saved, you will see something about your life that immediately you know Jesus doesn't like this. That's the end. Have you experienced that before? Yes, it means you are saved. Whether it is worldly music, whether it is alcohol, whether it is women, whatever it is, the moment you get saved, it's circumcised from you. The next thing that happens is that you get a sense of what it means to be buried with Christ and to rise with Christ. That your life now is not the old life. Your life now is the life that Christ has given you. You live a new life. Not an old life, but a new life. The third thing that happens to you is that you realize that you on your own could not have lived for God. You could not have functioned in God. But what Jesus did has now given you the opportunity to live in God. He has forgiven you. And that is one of the most beautiful things in Christianity. The fact that what you did was so wrong, and yet he can say it's forgiven. And I want you to know, this Easter season, whatever has happened, he has forgiven. By the blood, he has forgiven. There is no reason to keep condemning yourself for what you did in the past. He has forgiven. Shout, I'm forgiven. Then he says that final thing that happens is an understanding of what happened when Jesus died and rose again. It's not just the baptism. It's the fact that for us, we need to realize that when Jesus died and rose again, he was not just dealing with what happened with us. He dealt with the reason we were the way we are. He's not just dealing with the issue of sin. He is dealing with the person who instigated the sin in the first place. He's the one who instigated trouble in the first place. He's dealing with the one who brought Adam and Eve to that sin nature. The Bible is saying in the verse 15, he disarmed principalities and powers, and he made a diagmatizo of them. We celebrate Good Friday and we celebrate Easter Sunday. What I'm showing you is what happened in between. Paul is saying, Jesus, when he died, went into hell. Ephesians says, who is he that ascended, but he that first descended? So he goes into the camp of the enemy as one man. One man. Not all of us going against Goodness Filling Station. One man. And as one man, entered the camp of the enemy, defeated all principalities and powers. Defeated all of them, tied all of them up, and made a public spectacle of all of them. He lined them up. You see, the reason we celebrate the 2 days and then we think Saturday is not too much, all of this was happening in the middle. That the moment he died, he began that warfare. And by the time he was coming out of the tomb and the stone was rolled away, he was coming out with a public spectacle. Devil starting first, his principalities next, the powers, the spiritual wickedness, the demons. He lined every single one of them up. Witchcraft power, a pot power, a rock, what they call a lesser god, lined all of them up and came out of the grave with them following him. And the angels were celebrating. The king has arrived and he has fully defeated everybody. He has made a public spectacle of anything that can look like a power. But you see, because we are human beings, we don't see. And so when Jesus rose from the dead, and for instance, Mary saw him, all she saw was the king. So if the public spectacle occurred, how come we couldn't see it? But the reality is, it was a public spectacle. That public spectacle that happened in that moment may not have happened for us to see with the naked eye. But I'm telling you, anything that is in the spiritual realm saw that public spectacle. Hallelujah. Amen. Everything saw it. But we as physical beings, we didn't see it. So why is it still called a public spectacle? It's because in the spirit realm, it was completed. Hallelujah. In the spirit realm, it was finished. And you know what he did? The Bible says he first disarmed them. When you see a military man, for instance, Mr. T, please come and help me. You are a military man. It's powerful. I don't know if they take your height in the military, but you are a military man. Yeah, you are a military man. Now, in defeating Mr. T, he's not the devil, but he's in black. Yeah. And I'm coming to him defeated. The first thing I do is, your sword here, I've taken it. Your AK-47, I've removed it. Your knife here, I've taken it. That is what it means to disarm. So anything that comes to trouble you, they say, this is the devil, this is a demon, this is a fight with the enemy, it is a wicked force, it is from your fearful. Whatever it is, the moment they begin to operate, you need to first remind them. Are you here? That during a time like this we are celebrating, anything that was a weapon they have, Jesus took it from them. Are you here? So when they begin to attack, they are only attacking with their hands. They have nothing to attack with. That is why the way they attack is first with fear. They want to make you afraid first. but they have no weapons on them at all. And then God now gives us his armor. God bless you, Mr. Are you here, somebody? Any entity that tries to fight you is already starting from a defeated position. They have no weapons on them. You are the one with the weapons. The helmet of salvation. The breastplate of righteousness. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The breastplate of righteousness on you. Your feet shod with the gospel of peace. You are the one with armor. They have nothing on them to fight you with. That is what it means to disarm. And when he disarmed them, he brings them and lays them in the town for everybody to see. They are still alive. That's why you will still see situations where demons are working. But when it comes to you who is saved, this is what they do. Now, picture that this is a city. And victory has already come. They've been brought into the city. We are all hooting. But you are small. You are not trained for battle. Are you here with me? The battle that Jesus fought and won for us, you are not trained for that kind of battle. No matter how big you are physically, it was a spiritual battle. It took a spiritual person to fight that battle. If you compare yourself and your power to the power of the one who was defeated, you on your own can look down on yourself. Are you getting me? That this person, probably one of the people who is lying down, is the king of that kingdom. Very well trained, very built, probably like Saul. Head and shoulders above everybody. And you see him like that and you see you small. But the truth is, size does not matter. In the case where the battle is raging, size matters. But where the battle has already been won, size does not matter. They are defeated. So you look at them, they look bigger than you. And you are small. But because of the victory of your king, you have right to hit their head. You have right to put them back in their place. You have right to bring them down. And one of the things that happens is in their pride, they try to shake themselves and come up again. And when they do that, we get so scared we run away. You get to an office and then there is powder on your table. And then immediately you are calling a pastor. No, the powder is Johnson & Johnson. Take a cloth, wipe it, and sit on your chair. Because it's defeated already. It's not a weapon. They have no app. They have no power anywhere. Sit down, cross your legs, and do your business. Having a meeting, and a gentleman came into the meeting, and the way he came complaining and he was shaking, he was like, "They are chasing me, they are chasing me." I said, "Who is chasing you? Where are they? Show me that they are chasing you." So he said, let's go here. This is it. As I was walking with him, he turned at me and now started running, and it became I was the one rather chasing. I don't know what had happened to the guy, but the way he reacted, it was as if the thing that was chasing him started running. So he felt like he should be more afraid of the person who is chasing what he has been afraid of. I told him, calm down. I'm not the one chasing them. The Jesus in me is greater than he that is in the world. And that is what is happening. You have to see yourself as somebody who is part of the city, who has received a victory. You have received a victory. Tell somebody, I've received a victory. That is what the public spectacle is. And ladies and gentlemen, our Christian walk is that we should continue to live life that even if we meet an opposition, that opposition is already defeated. By what happened in Easter, every opposition to your life begins that opposition from defeat. The reason for that defeat is Jesus. The reason for that victory is Jesus. The reason for that glory is Jesus. Now let me end with this. That in life, some things have to be public. I started with that last week. That some things have to be announced. Some things have to be made public so that everybody knows you have already been dealt with. And so part of the public spectacle is public shame. Listen carefully. The public shame is so that even if the king escapes and goes back to try and sit on his throne, he cannot rule the way he used to because of that defeat. The devil will never be the devil that Adam and Eve met. Please listen carefully. It will never be the same devil because he's forever defeated. He can't go back to sit on his throne again. No matter what he does, the one with the key is Jesus. So when the defeated army is coming, they are throwing things at them, tomatoes, all manner of things, and their heads are down because it is shame. Even their clothes are taken off. They are walking absolutely naked and they are being laughed at. That is what happened to the enemy that you think you are afraid of. He was publicly disgraced, not just on this earth, but in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. Publicly humiliated, publicly brought to nothing. The devil is not the reason you are not where you are supposed to be. It's your lack of understanding that he cannot stand between you and where you are going. He's already defeated. Say he's defeated. He's defeated. He's defeated. It means that if that has happened in the spirit realm, what do we have to do now as Christians living this life where sometimes it looks like we are defeated? It looks like the enemy we are fighting is bigger than us. You have to rise up with the understanding of victory and bring the enemy back down. Hallelujah. When the enemy does something, bring him back down. Put him back in his place. Now let me give this word of prophecy to somebody. What is about to happen in your life, it will be a public spectacle. Now there are some of us here, what you've gone through, it was public. The pain you went through was public. I know you probably went to see a specialist for because of an issue. You went to see somebody to help you with a case, and you were trying to keep it hidden. And as you were coming out of the specialist office, this is a Day Spring member standing there and passing. And they have seen you. And you lie. Oh, no. The person is like a friend. I just wanted to go and greet the person and pass. There is nothing more difficult than public humiliation, than public shame, where you are going through something and everybody knows it's you. There is nothing more difficult. But God's promise to us is that the way he was publicly humiliated is the way he was publicly glorified. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there's a reason Jesus made it a public spectacle. Everybody must know that you've moved out of that level. Everybody must know that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. And that's why sometimes he doesn't immediately fight, because it's time for you to also take your place and also enforce your victory in him. So they've come and they've done something, and unfortunately everybody saw it. When they are sacking people in certain companies, they send an email, one email to everybody. Have you seen that thing? these people are not working in this company anymore. And then the fourth name is your name. And everybody knows they have sacked you. Public humiliation. God is telling somebody, the way you saw it publicly and people saw you humiliated and brought down is the same way everybody is going to see you at your level. Do you think that Jesus was happy being crucified on a cross? No, the Bible says that he was crucified. When you look at it, even clothes were taken off. Nails in his hands, nails in his feet. Publicly humiliated. It was a disgrace when you had done something very, very bad. Do you think his victory now should be a hidden matter? No, his victory should be public. Whatever it is that happened that everybody could see. You've moved even to your 40s and you are still not married. And everybody is saying there's something wrong with you. That is how everybody will see your wedding. When you were sick and everybody saw the sickness and it was so some way that people were moving away from you. That is how they will see you healed and walking and moving. When you were walking on the road to church and everybody saw you don't have even money to take public transport, that people have to come and pick you from your house to help you to come. I speak as a servant of God. That is how everybody will see when God brings your vehicle, when God brings your blessing, when God brings glory on your life. That is what it means. Easter is not a quiet thing. Easter is a public spectacle. That what was a problem, the sin that everybody saw was an issue, the death that everybody saw, that no matter what, you are going to be humbled by death. At least on that day alone, death was humbled by Jesus. The death that humbles everybody. Can I prophesy to somebody? What humbles people, you will humble it. And everybody will see. What becomes a challenge for everybody around you, you will be the one who will make it like nothing. Electra will come out and say, he humiliates everybody by giving everybody a D or a C. And it's like nobody has been able to get a B or an A. And everybody knows publicly, this is what that lecturer does. Can I prophesy to somebody here this morning? It is going to be a public spectacle that when your A comes, the whole school will come and look at the one who got A in that class. I prophesy in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever everybody saw you go through, everybody is going to see you come out. Listen, when you are crucified on a cross, I've had the privilege of going to Israel, where it is supposed that Jesus died. When you are even on the roadside at a distance, you can still see the mountain. So it means when he was being crucified, those in the city could see, those who were coming to the city could see, those who were transiting could see, even at a distance, his disgrace could be seen. Why would he choose that when he finally walks into victory, he will make it a quiet thing? Why would you choose that after you've gone through so much and they've repeated you twice in school and you are finally about to complete, it will not be a public spectacle? I prophesy over somebody this morning, what God will do in your life, everybody will see it. You didn't hear what I'm saying. I said what God will do in your life, it will be announced. When they move from far, they will see it. Where they have gotten to, they will still see you afar. Even when they don't want to hear your story, when they turn on TV3, they will hear it. They will say, I don't want to see it. They will move to Metro TV. They will still be showing it on the news. When they turn a different channel, they go to DSTV. Let me watch CNN. Then somehow your face will still be on CNN. Because God said, when they did it, everybody saw it. When they said that rumor about you, everybody heard it. When they said you are stealing the money, everybody heard it. Now when it has come out that you
you didn't steal the money. They want to apologize to you quietly. No, 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 no. Seeing that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, because people are about to watch you enter into your glory.
This church is about to be a public spectacle. Your certificate will be a public spectacle. Your 50th birthday will be a public spectacle. Your 60th birthday will be a public spectacle. When you finish that course, it will be a public spectacle. When you finally get married, it will be a public spectacle. And on that day, we are not worried about a fearful and they are fighting. That day, we are celebrating. The day you build a house, it will be a public spectacle. The day you buy that land, it will be a public spectacle. The day you move in, it will be a public spectacle. The day you enter your glory, it will be a public spectacle.
People think Christianity is boring and that there is no need to even be a Christian anymore. Unfortunately, COVID has moved things into a very wild situation. Even though it has left, people don't like coming to church anymore. It's because they have not seen some public spectacles yet. But this spring, we are going to see public spectacles. Nothing will tell you to come when a cripple walks out of a wheelchair and everybody knows. Nothing will tell you to come when somebody who was nothing suddenly comes out and is a billionaire. I prophesy over your life. God will use your life to evangelize. God will use the grace that happens to you in your life to tell people to follow his Jesus. God will use you to show people that he is Jehovah. God will use you to testify that there is no one like him. He is going to use you to show that though he was dead, now he is alive. Why did the disciples follow Jesus? Because there were public spectacles. How many times would you see a man walking on the water? How many times would you see a man turn water into wine? How many times would you see a man born blind suddenly seeing? How many times would you see that somebody who was a leper brought down from a roof to the front of Jesus, and Jesus picks him up with his hand? How many times have you seen those things happen? I prophesy, this year of Jesus, this 2025, there are going to be some public spectacles that will happen. There are going to be some things that will be seen publicly, and you will know that God is with you. Oh, you may not have been sure for some time, but when the public spectacle happens, you will know that God is on your side. It's not that we are looking for public things, but God needs to use you to talk to another person, and he's going to use your life. Somebody is going to say, I need your Jesus. Somebody is going to say, I need your God. Somebody is going to say, I'm following you to church. Somebody is going to say, this can only be God.
Thank you for listening to the Dayspring podcast. Hope you were blessed. Connect with us on all social media platforms at ICGC Dayspring. God bless you.